This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Hey, good morning, and at 8:06, happy race day. Actually, you know, it's hard to say that when I don't think there's any racing going on along the Gulf Coast, but boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Welcome to the show. Hey, thank you to the sponsors, Mobile International Speedway, also Bayside Insurance with two locations on Airport Boulevard and also Spanish Port Boulevard. We've got Sunny South Raceway and Five Flag Speedway, so a big show today. Standing by on the line, his name is Ricky Brooks, crew chief. He is the tech official, the main guy at several tracks and series, but even more importantly, it's such a busy weekend. Last weekend, of course, we're going to talk about the difference between lead and tungsten and so much more. Ricky Brooks is standing by. Also, tonight is the night at the Sims Community Center that Joe McArdle and the whole crew will have the Sunny South Racing Championship Banquet. Very excited to be able to pick up the Bomber Championship trophy. Our whole team's going to be out there, so what a cool night it's going to be. And if you're going, it's only $10 to get in. Kids 12 under free, but they're already expecting 250 people there, so you might want to get there early. Starts at 7. Joe McArdle's on the way to talk about that. Our friend Jay Wells, well, he's got a really popular reunion coming up tomorrow. If you live along the Gulf Coast, LA Raceway was just a huge dirt track back in the day, as most people say, and he's got a lot of information on that. And then there's a brand new racing series that he's helping bring to the Gulf Coast, the Southeastern Crate Series. Pretty exciting stuff there. We'll talk with him. Matt Weaver is going to wrap up the Snowball Derby, and then I tell you, it's a busy show. Dustin Long with MRN. Big NASCAR news this week, obviously, if you haven't heard. Jeremy Mayfield's mansion was burned down. Yeah, they did it on purpose. Tell you why. The number three is back. You've got a lot of people talking, say that's a good thing. And then Bobby Labonte might be in the Daytona, and a lot of testing this week. So much to continue and hit today, and we're going to bring him in right away, first of all, our first guest. And Ricky Brooks, thank you so much for getting up on a weekend. You're probably still trying to recover from last week, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah, it ain't too bad.
Well, let's talk about how busy you have been. Obviously, the Snowball Derby was probably a little bit more difficult for you for this year because, obviously, your injury. So before we get started, can you talk about how it was different for you this year? Obviously, you were hit with by a late model down. What was the track? I'm sorry.
New Smyrna.
Yeah, New Smyrna. And in doing a lot better. But can you tell us a little bit about how you're improving?
That's getting better day by day. It's just a slow process. It's going to be probably another month and a half, 2 months.
Oh, wow. Wow. What did that? Now, that affected, well, actually, I don't think it affected too much what you were doing. Let's talk about the whole entire genre that is a Snowball Derby. What is it about you and brings you to the Snowball Derby every year? Obviously, you have such a great relationship with Tim Bryant and a lot of the owners of the tracks in the area, but you've been doing it for such a long time. You're a racer, and before you did the tech thing, and I think that makes you even a more dangerous tech man, as saying it from a driver's standpoint. But can you tell us why you keep coming back to the Snowball?
Well, I mean, it's just the biggest race of the year, and I mean, that's what you work all year for, is to get up to that race.
Yeah. And you guys were obviously busy. We'll start off the Bombers, no problems. B.J. Latham takes the win, but there was a little bit of a controversy, something to do with the tires, some sniffers with Steve Buntrick Sportsman. Can you kind of touch base on that a little bit and what has been done, and is he the champ?
Well, we had some red flags thrown up on our end by doing the test that we do, so we cut the tires and send them off, and I overnighted on Monday, had a 10:30 delivery on Tuesday, and the lab run the samples, and they called me late Tuesday afternoon and told me the results, and they come back, they were all good.
Yep.
So there's been a lot of people talking about we never sent them off, but UPS, I do stuff overnight in the lab. Whenever you got something hot like that, they'll work with you, and they'll get it through the lab and take care of the problem for you, because they work with all the racetracks.
Now, I heard that when that happened, you and Tim Bryant went off and called, I guess you guys called the tire manufacturer, and that's what they told you to do. You actually took a section of each tire. Is that right? What'd you cut out?
No, I would cut a 2-inch square out, but we didn't call the manufacturer.
Okay.
We got a good relationship with the lab, and they'll test fuel, tires, anything for us, and it's a pretty good deal, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously, so far everything came back normal. So what does that say about, and like I said, I drive a bomber, so I'm not too familiar with that level with the sniffers and stuff, because obviously we don't use chemicals on our cars for the tires and stuff, because it just wouldn't do any good. But what would be the big advantage of that for people who are listening to the show that don't know why you would even want to soak your tires?
It'd make you faster. It's more grip. And it would enhance the performance greatly.
Okay. Well, now we got to touch base, obviously. You know, such an exciting weekend for Chase Elliott. Dominated. I mean, he had the brooms out in victory lane, but wasn't meant to be. And the few questions leading up to it, when he brings his car back right afterwards, obviously, I'm up there because I'm doing the announcing. And one thing that I saw that our track officials and the people that work for you, Ricky, as soon as he stopped after he had the checkered flag in there, they immediately grabbed his helmet. And they grabbed his radio. Now, can you explain to people why they do that?
We're just trying to put the whole traction control rumor to bed. You know, we made him change in the tech room.
Oh.
Took his fire suit. We inspected it.
Wow.
And we were just basically looking for any kind of traction control or anything like that. And then we stumbled across the tungsten.
Now, how did that come about? Because I've heard rumors. Again, it's all just gabbledygook. So I want to ask you. I heard that one of the teams, one of the crew members from Eric Jones actually saw it and pointed it out. Is that right, or is that just?
I don't know where that rumor came from, but it. Once you lay it out there in front of God and everybody, I mean, it don't matter who sees it. It's wrong. It's wrong. You know,
well, and let's talk about that, because the rule states, can you say exactly what the rule says? You can use lead, but essentially tungsten. What's the reason why tungsten, you guys don't allow it?
It's $48 a pound versus $1 a pound.
Wow. So technically, you can get with the tungsten the same size of what a piece of lead is. It's heavier. And what is that going to do for the car?
It allows you to put more weight lower and in the places you want to put it.
Now, I know that Ricky Turner was said, and that's the crew chief for Elliott, said it was an oversight on his part in his doing, and the quote was, I messed up on Speed 51 and also on FiveFlagSpeedway.com's website. Let me ask you, are they allowed in other classes? Is tungsten allowed to be in the pro lay models?
Not in our level, no.
And I didn't think so. So my question is, and you don't know, but I mean, is this going to hamper the weekend and actually put a taint on what Elliott did before the Snowball Derby? Is everyone going to say, oh, well, they were cheating. They probably had that stuff in the car, too. Oh, they didn't check, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? And these are the Facebook crybabies that are, you know, throwing these questions out. So my question to you is, you know, you guys check. You have certain things that you check, and there's also, you go by your gut feeling, I imagine, too, don't you?
Yeah, it shouldn't hamper the weekend. They took responsibility for it, and it's over, in my opinion. And they'll be back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. What else, you know, as far as for next year, I've had people ask, you know, questions they wanted me to ask you about 2014 rules for the Gulf Coast. I know that Tim Bryant is in Indianapolis at the PRI, the big racing thing there, and I believe they're still working on, and I've got other tracks that are waiting on Mobile and Five Flags to get their schedule out. Is it something that you guys have already put out there, or any kind of major rule package is going to be changed for next year for any of the local divisions?
The rules are pretty much going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. There's very, very few changes. It ain't even worth talking about, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Actually, we got the rules tweaked where eventually we would like to put the rules out where it's like a 2 to 3 year rule package.
Oh, yeah.
But at this point, I mean, it's not really no changes at all.
You know, I had another message on Facebook to ask you for the bombers. You know, the people have said the same tires that run with the Sportsman could be used on the bomber class, and technically that would save money because I guess they're cheaper than what you're paying for a regular tire. Has there been any mention, or have you guys talked about that? I heard there was some testing possibly last year that was done or in the 2013 season to see if it would be working out or better for the bomber drivers. What's your take on that and that tire?
We're looking at... We're looking at something in that aspect, but it's nothing I can tell you right now, but we're looking at something as far as tires in that class, and if it goes through, everybody would be real pleased with it. But like anything else, some people's not going to be pleased, some people will be pleased.
How do you balance all that out? You just go in one out and the other, right?
Right.
Well, man, I know that it's early. You've got lots going on this weekend. I just wanted to thank you for coming out. Like I said, it's a big part of what you do along the Gulf Coast. You've known and beyond that for all the series and from Mobile, Five Flags. And we just want to wish you Merry Christmas from the show. Hope you get feeling better. I know that's from being hurt as well. I know it's no fun. And congratulations on your daughter's marriage, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Merry Christmas out there, too.
All right, there you go. That's Ricky Brooks, and I'm telling you, this man has got a lot of knowledge. So how about that with the tires, possibly? Maybe doing a little something with the Bombers? Well, you guys will have to keep listening. So much to continue. Thank you to Ricky Brooks again. Coming up, Joe McArdle, Jay Wells, Dustin Long from MRN, and Matt Weaver's got the big wrap-up and so many awesome stories that you might not know about from this past weekend's Snowball Derby. Hang on. The show is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. So much still to continue. Having some phone line issues. It's a Saturday, I guess. Monday part two here in the studio. Joe McArdle will be on. Try to get hold of him, and also Jay Wells. If Jay is there, he can be giving us a shout. There's Joe McArdle right there. So we'll talk to Joe in just a minute. Joe, we'll call you back in just a few seconds, and we'll go back straight to Matt Weaver. Now, Matt is standing by, and Matt, you know, I want to talk about something that you had a great video with the new winner of the Snowball Derby, and you know, you guys were in victory lane after a long night of the Snowball Derby. And Matt, first of all, good morning, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kane. We went to several victory lanes on Sunday, apparently.
Gosh, and well, and the video that you posted was really good about Eric Jones. You could just, you know, you could see the excitement, and he's done an amazing thing. He was quoted. I heard him talking, and it was on one of the websites saying that, you know, I just hate losing to Chase, and you know, because of a foresight, something had happened that you know, the crew chief supposedly messed up on. Still kind of out in the books on that one. what are your thoughts? I mean, as far as what happened there and him taking the win, because that's and how old is he? Is he what, 17? Is that right?
Yeah, this is his 17-year-old season, which is remarkable given what he's been able to accomplish this year. And you know, it's the same way for Chase, who just turned 18. So my immediate takeaway from the weekend is that, you know, you better get used to watching this Chase Elliott Eric Jones rivalry, because I think you're going to see it progress all the way to the Sprint Cup Series level.
Oh, yeah.
Chase hates losing to Eric, and you know, I was in Winchester for the Winchester 400 a few months ago, and Chase was just as disappointed as Eric is when he loses to Chase. And so those two are friendly, they like each other a ton, but they hate losing to each other, and I think that's going to drive them to be the best as they move forward.
And you couldn't ask for anything better on short track racing. Those guys, the younger generation coming up, and already have got that great rivalry. So, I mean, it's good racing, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best racing. And right now you have the perfect platform with these short track super late models. Their personality, I think, is going to be a breath of fresh air. Yes, Chase is a part of the corporate Hendrick mentality, but he's not cut from the same cloth that Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson is, from my opinion. And, you know, I like both of those guys a ton, but I do think they're a little too corporate at times. Chase is a guy who's not afraid to say what he thinks at any given time when he's frustrated. He'll tell you, now he'll do it in a reserved tone, and you don't see him getting really outlandish, but he's a real honest straight shooter, just like his dad's got that southern draw.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think both he and Eric, who have many of the same attributes, is the same way.
Well, you build up to this, and just like Ricky Brooks said, you know, I asked him why such a big deal for the Snowball Derby. He says, man, this is what you work for all year long. You know, this is the biggest race of the year. So, and I know it is for you, too. You get it just as excited with chill bumps on your back and your hands when you get that media pass from so many cool tracks. But when you get one from Five Flag Speedway for the Snowball Derby, and you've got all access, I mean, that is like a reporter's, but also a fan's dream. Because I tell people, I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I'm just a fan with a mic. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. I'm just a 25-year-old kid from Mobile who was given the opportunity to go cover races for a living. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a candy land for a motorsports aficionado. But when I come down to Pensacola, first weekend of December, it's the culmination of, you know, my entire year's worth of work. And, you know, I do the NASCAR stuff. I do IndyCar racing. But my passion is the short track racing. And this is the biggest event of our year. And it made my heart feel good to be able to wake up on Sunday. And, you know, the first thing I think to myself is kind of like, you know, it's Christmas morning. I think, man, it's here. It's the Snowball Derby. And now that we're past it and we're another year away,
I know, right?
I kind of have this wave of depression hit me, and now we've got to go through one more whole season, and it's just a terrible feeling, Kane.
It is, it is. That's funny, because you're going through those withdrawals, and it's, what, been 6 days, 5 days? Hey, let me ask you, you know, when you get there to the Snowball Derby, what was the biggest thing this year that you saw that was maybe different from last year? I think, personally, because I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think the crowds, actually, they're always great, but were better this year.
No, it's funny, you kind of stole my thunder there. That was kind of what I was telling guys all weekend. Yeah. I actually brought down a staff that actually had people come from Texas, that came from Pennsylvania. So we had a pretty big bunch come down to Pensacola, and most of them had been there before, but we all kind of looked at the crowds all weekend and kind of remarked, you know, this crowd is amazing. And it started on Thursday. It wasn't just for the late models. The people at this track, for whatever reason, and it's a great thing, it's a testament to Tim Bryant, they support that track. And they come every time the doors are open, whether it's modifieds, you know, the bombers and sportsmen. If there's racing to be had, they want to take it in. And again, that's just a testament to Tim and Pat and what they've done to that track over the past decade or so.
What was the reaction in the tech room and that tech area when, you know, I had no idea when Ricky just was on the air, and I don't know if you heard his interview or not, but he talked about they even had Chase change his driver's suit back there in the tech area so he could check. And when they're talking about traction control, from what I understand and what I learned this past weekend, there's a little chip that you can essentially put on you, and it's like a radio frequency chip or whatever, and there could be somebody with almost like a keychain remote that can turn it on and off, and so they try to hide it on anything that they can, essentially on either the driver or what have you. Is that about what I've heard correct?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've heard too, and from talking to a lot of the pro late model teams on Saturday, that was their main gripe. And that's not to say that there was universal finger pointing at the number 9 team saying, you know, catch them, I know they're cheating.
Right, right.
But there was a lot of frustration. I guess anytime you get beat the way that you get beat over the weekend, both pros and supers, the way that Chase delivered a beating, you know, there's that automatic reaction, well, something's got to be wrong. And so Ricky and his crew didn't find anything on Saturday, but like he just explained to you, he was very thorough, and you know they found the tungsten in the car on Sunday night, and you know he had to disqualify him.
What is your thoughts on that? Was it a mistake, or was it something that they were just trying to get away with?
You know, my first reaction, and I've got to talk to Ricky later today, actually, Ricky Turner, to kind of get more details on it. Mm. So look for that story on SB Nation.
That'll be good.
But my first opinion was that this team is so thorough. They analyze everything to such a, you know, X degree that they don't miss anything on that car. And so, you know, there is some, maybe not a lot, but there is some advantage to be gained. And if there is, they're racers. They're going to try to find every, you know, tenth of a second.
Oh, sure.
And judging from qualifying on Friday, through either legal or illegal means, they found every second possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, what was it, a 16-199? Is that right? Is that the new?
16-133.
Wow, 133. Unbelievable. So not only a track record for that, but, I mean, an all-time track record there for those cars. Let me ask you, what was the biggest surprise? Was it the tungsten deal? What else did you see for the whole 4 days that you said, man, only at the Derby?
You know, I'll say that the tungsten bit doesn't surprise me anymore because, you know, Ricky catches them all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the weekend, in a lot of ways, went according to plan, outside of what happened on Sunday. But I'll tell you, the one driver that really surprised me the most, and I think made the most of this weekend, was John Hunter Nemechek.
Mm.
You know, he qualifies third for the Derby. He led a majority of the laps in the Snowflake 100. He made his Truck Series debut this year. And so every time you give this kid a shot to go drive a race car, he proves that he belongs, and it's not just a second-generation, you know,
right,
type deal where you're there based on your name. John's really good, and he's already made his first two Truck Series starts. He's just now getting started in the super late model ranks. I think once you see the guys like Chase and Eric and Daniel Hemric, you know, progress on to the next level, and he's still here, he's going to win a lot of super late model races, and he's going to carry that success into the truck series and beyond, in my opinion.
There's so many NASCAR connections to the drivers that race at the Snowball Derby. Jeff Burton was there with his son. What are your thoughts, excuse me, on their team for this year?
Well, I spent a good time with the Burtons. Mm-hmm. I'm used to talking to Jeff a lot from the NASCAR ranks, and it's the first time that I really got a chance to meet Harrison. As you know, he raced at Pensacola in the Alan Turner tune-up race a few months ago, but I really didn't get a chance to speak to Harrison then. Well, I did a sit-down interview with Jeff and Harrison and kind of talked about their team and their program moving forward, and I think they're going to be really good. They're going to move to a lot more super late model races next season, and it's going to be a learning experience. You got to keep in mind that Harrison is still just 13 years old.
Jeez.
So when he moves to the super late ranks next year, he'll be 14. But if you look at a guy who kind of took a similar path and, you know, they work with the same people, Kyle Benjamin. He started off at 14 years old in the super late ranks, and now he's a two-race ARCA winner. And he's pretty darn good here at Pensacola, too.
Yeah, he is. How young is too young? I've heard a lot of the people, a lot of the other teams will, you know, bellyache and complain, oh, well, you know, daddy's money, blah, 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 blah. But if these kids are, and they are kids, if these kids are able to continue to have the results they have, they're just as good as these other older farts that can't get it going. Right?
Yeah, you know, I used to feel very passionate on this subject.
Oh,
I used to say that they don't belong in the series at 13, 14 years old, and I was pretty steadfast about it. But now here in recent years, you've got guys like Kyle Benjamin, and Harrison has done good so far, too. And it's starting to slowly turn me around a little bit. The argument, on the other hand, and I love the kid, Spencer Davis, is probably an example of a guy who moved up too quickly.
Yeah.
And so you start to look at both sides, and I think I am coming around to it a little bit more, but just in general, I think you should be 14, 15 at earliest before you jump into a super late.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one last thought about the Snowball Derby and what it meant to you.
Well, you know, it's so hard to put it into words and verbalize it, because the first thing that comes to my mind is that the Snowball Derby means everything. When I think of what racing means to me personally, I think of waking up on Sunday morning of the Derby itself, and I do all the cheesy stuff. I play all my favorite racing songs.
Oh,
I play like the Days of Thunder theme when I wake up. So that's what the Derby means to me. It's racing in its purest form. It's everything that I think racing should be, without the glitz and glamour, and you peel it away, and it's grit, and it's dirt, and it's just fun.
Well, I tell you what, there's no better adjectives than that. And obviously, you do a lot of work. You've been doing some satellite radio as well. What were you just on this week?
Oh, gosh, yeah, we've done a little bit this year coming off the Derby, or this week coming off the Derby. I was on with Chocolate Myers and Jim Noble on the XM show, and I did a PRN radio show with my good pal Lenny Baticki. And the second interview is PRN at the Track. You can download that. And we talked about Ricky Brooks, the Room of Doom, and why it's so hard to pass tech there, and a lot of the same reasons that he just told you about this morning.
That's great. Well, man, we appreciate it. You have a blessed Christmas, and I'm going through withdrawals with you, buddy.
Here you can. Thank you for having me on all season. I love doing this show.
Well, I appreciate it, and we're definitely going to use you up next year too, brother.
Looking forward to it.
All right, there you go, Matt Weaver. And again, he has so much insight when he goes to all these tracks. It's great to use him. Coming up next, well, we've got Joe McCardle, Jay Wells, and some NASCAR news with MRN's Dustin Long. Lots to cover. Hang on. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Again, later today, podcast the show at usfdracing.org. Thank you to Ricky Brooks, the chief tech official from Five Flag Speedway and so many series. Kind of gave us the take on the lead versus the tungsten. Joe McCardle couldn't get a hold of him, but let me tell you what's going on tonight. It's the year end of the banquet held tonight at the Sims Community Center. That's at 10141 Moffitt Road in Sims. Dinner and dessert's going to be served. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're expecting over 250 see people at this thing. It's going to be major. Admission's $10 to get in. Kids 12 and under free. The fans could come. It's all about it. Banquet starts at 7 o'clock. And I was talking with Wayne and Joe, and they've got some great door prizes. And I just want to say Kane Motorsports is thrilled and honored and excited to go pick up our Bomber Championship trophy tonight. That's going to be a dream come true. You know, a lot of these guys I see that have got multiple championships, they almost seem like it's not that big of a deal. And I'm telling you, I'm giddy like a schoolgirl. So I'm really excited. That's the quote. As we come back in, bringing Dustin Long on, I gave him the rest of the year off, but it was so busy this week. Dustin, did you get that check in the mail yet? Is it there?
I'm waiting for a check from a person who's as giddy as a schoolgirl. Yeah, I guess.
Hey, well, there you go. Hey, you know, you've got to be enjoying life. You got Las Vegas out of your way, but now this week it has been busy.
I'm enjoying life because Las Vegas is out of the way. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, you know that champ. That was a lot of busyness, a lot of work, and you actually got a couple days off, but it didn't last long, did it?
When did I get a couple days off, man?
Well, you had to fly back, and you had to do laundry. I'm sure you weren't doing everything. So how is it now this past week? You had testing. There's the news. Let's start off, first of all, Jeremy Mayfield's mansion. They burned it down, and that was for some interesting, just an interesting story behind it.
They didn't burn it down.
Oh, they didn't?
No, it got canceled because of the rain and the forecast.
Ah, okay.
So it'll be used. Basically, for those who aren't familiar, it's a mansion that Mayfield formerly owned, does not own. It fallen into disrepair, and I think, if I remember right, I think he purchased for about $3.8 million a number of years ago. The value is now down to like $300,000, and so it was going to be burned to be used as a training exercise for firefighters in that community. But that was been delayed because of the rain here in the North Carolina area.
Okay. I know that was big news. And of course, obviously, the other biggest news is with the number three back. And I like what you did on your Facebook. You said, hey, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? You know, there's several drivers who've won in the number three. You know, obviously, everyone remembers Senior. But everyone, because I stole your quote and put it out there, and I think 95, maybe 98% of the folks thought it was a good idea putting that three back out on the track. It's time. The kid's good. He's a driver, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you just have to be respectful of everybody's opinion, and I think, yeah, there are going to be some people who don't want it, and that's their right. And other people are like, look, it's time. You know, NASCAR doesn't retire numbers, so it can go on. It can be used. Obviously, it's kind of a, you know, essentially a kind of a member of the family. I mean, Austin, a grandson of Richard Childress. So I mean, there's still that bond with Childress and with Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt Jr. at Las Vegas last week reiterated for the upteenth time that, you know, he's fine with Austin Dillon running the three and the three coming back. And he says, look, Austin gets it. He understands the number, but again, it's also a number that Austin's run for a long time. And it's part of who Austin Dillon is. And Dale Jr.'s point is, look, you know, you knew at some point there was going to be a kid that was going to have the number three, and that was going to be part of their number. They chose that number for whatever reason, and they were going to have that number all through the ranks of racing as they moved up, and so why shouldn't they have the opportunity to use that number when they moved up to NASCAR's higher ranks? Now, I mean, you know, I understand the debate, the argument that some people say is, you know, because of what happened at Daytona in 2001, Earnhardt was killed there, that that number should be retired. Or, you know, some people have told me on social media that, you know, that they don't like the idea of the three coming back because they think the three is going to run in the middle of the pack in Dillon's Rookie of the Year, and they just don't want to see the three run in the middle of the pack because to them the three should be running out front. you know, however you look at it, however you look at it, it's just that, you know, I think, you know, even if you're four, I think there's going to be some point this season you're gonna see that car on that track, and everything's just going to strike you. And it may be at Daytona, it may be at Talladega, where Earnhardt had all the success that he had. It may be somewhere else, but I think, you know, I suspect there'll probably be some point I'll look out there and just, like, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of shudder and think about, you know, that'll remind me about what happened in 2001, and I think I'll probably, you know, move on and understand that, you know. For now, it's Austin Dillon's number, and certainly been tied in with Dale Earnhardt. But I think what it is, 74 different drivers have driven the number three, and I think seven of them or four are in the Hall of Fame. So it's a number that's been used by many. And before Earnhardt, it was actually Richard Childress's number, and that's one of the reasons why Austin Dillon wanted that number in the first place, because he wanted Pawpaw's number.
That's cool. And the car looks good. He's got Dow and Cheerios on as a sponsor. They do have some black on it, but it's not completely blacked out. It's not an Earnhardt clone, essentially.
But it is a stylized 3, that did come back. I think at one point there was questions if the stylized 3 would ever come back. And so that was kind of interesting. But yeah, the Dow car's got some black on it, a good part, but it's not all black like the GM Goodrich car. And then obviously the Cheerios car has got a lot of that yellow on it. It's got some black, but it's a lot of yellow on that car too. So.
Well, I know they did a lot of testing this week. Matt Kenseth said he likes NASCAR trying to enhance the racing, but adds the product was already really good. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I was at the test on Wednesday, and essentially what they did is they had different aerodynamic configurations that they tried, and they would go run mock races. They ran 3 30-lap mock races, a 20-lap mock race, and a 15-lap mock race during the day. And they had about 30 teams there. So.
Wow.
There were a lot of it gave them a lot of opportunity to see not only what the changes did to cars at the front, but in the middle of the pack. And well over 100 laps of racing, in the 5 mock races, I can tell you there were 2 lead changes. One was off a start, which these races did start 2 abreast, just like a regular race would start. They even had a pace truck out there to pace them. There was 1 lead change off a restart, and then there was 1 lead change, I think it was in the 3rd mock race about halfway through, and that was it. So in that sense, visually, it didn't look a whole lot different from some of the racing you see at mile and a half. Did talk with some people, one of the things NASCAR's looking at, obviously they're looking at enhancing the racing, creating more lead changes, more passing, but also trying to tighten the gap between first and fifth and lap times. At times, some of the configurations they were getting at other times they didn't. I can tell you, in one of the races, mock races, it was, I think it was the 3rd one, there was, in the last few laps, it had, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, and Dale Jr. all running pretty close together in the top 3, and I remember sitting there thinking, boy, if this was just a regular race, everybody would be really amped up and excited. In that sense, it looks good. There were a couple times where guys ran side by side for a couple laps. I want to say that Ryan Newman, Eric Almirola did that, and I think Newman and I'm trying to remember who else did it, but ran about 2 laps straight side by side. And I think that helped provide and give some different things. Some of the things that they had the no ride height requirement that was used throughout the entire mock races. So I mean that's something that's going to happen for next year. Side skirts were 4-inch minimum ground, 4-inch ground clearance is what they had to be, and that was used in all the mock races. The spoiler height changed throughout the day. They started 9 inches tall, cut it down to 8.375 inches, and then they originally were going to do 4 mock races. They called them in early, had them come in, shave off the spoiler a little bit more to 7.75 inches in the last 15-lap race. And my indication was that drivers seem to kind of like that a little bit better than what they had earlier, with a little bit less downforce on the back. The spoiler height this past season was 7.25. They raised it a little bit. But obviously another thing is the tapered spacer.
Yeah.
They used that the last couple of mock races. With these aerodynamic changes, it makes the cars go a little faster. And so what they try to do is use this tapered spacer. Essentially it restricts horsepower, kind of like a plate. Essentially what it was intended to do is restrict the horsepower about 100 horsepower, so they're knocking the engines down to about 750.
Wow.
And the whole point of it is to get the speeds back to what the cars were this past season, because the aerodynamic changes are making the cars faster. So, it did do some lap times, and you did see, whereas in the past they were running like 190s, they were running like mid-180s or something like that, 186, somewhere around there. So, load them up a little bit.
I appreciate it. We've got to go. We've got about 30 seconds, so I just want to wish you a blessed Christmas with you and your family, and we hope that everything goes well, and enjoy all that time off, man.
That's less than a month till Daytona testing.
Wow.
So I'll be there.
All right, Dustin, we'll be back with you then. You have a great weekend, my friend.
All right, you too. See ya.
All right, thank you. And everybody, thank you so much for being part of the show tonight. Sunny South Raceway's Championship Banquet. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. We'll see you at the Sims Community Center. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
To be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane,